Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. With happy music, the Christmas season's upon us. Economy experts say it's the key for retailers making money for the year. It's sad that so much darkness permeates our culture now, but that's why we look to Jesus as our source of light. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer begins a four-part series on the gifts Jesus brought to us so long ago. We begin with gift number one. Listen now as we hear about Jesus, the gift of light.
So how are y'all doing today? Everyone doing well? Have you ever thought what would happen if an alien from out of outer space were to come here and be given the assignment of parking his spaceship in the Daily Plaza, and then being asked to figure out what the Christmas season is all about? He, of course, would emphasize the fact that it's a very busy time. A lot of merchants are making a lot of money. There's a time of revelry. But I don't know that he would ever get to the real heart of what the Christmas spirit and what Christmas is really all about. And if he were to go into some of our town halls or some of our plazas, he would discover that there are no Christmas trees. There are only holiday trees that are available and that are lit up. You know, to those who want to just call it a holiday tree, I want to ask the question, what holiday is it that you're talking about? Would you at least say the word Christmas? Who would have ever dreamed that a Christmas tree in public places would be considered to be a threat to the First Amendment? But the real purpose of Christmas is that Jesus Christ is the one who gave us gifts that we can enjoy, gifts that bring us to God the Father, and that give us a whole new purpose in life and actually even change our destiny. The Bible says in John chapter 1 that Jesus Christ came and he brought light, and the darkness did not overcome it. Darkness cannot overcome light. No matter how dark it is in a cave, a candle can make a great difference because darkness never overcomes light. You can go into Ace Hardware today and you can buy a flashlight, but you can't buy a flash dark. You can't say, well, you know, I live in this house and it's got so many windows and oftentimes I just need a little bit of darkness. Could I buy a flash dark? No, you can't buy a flash dark, but you can buy a flashlight, and the light overcomes the darkness. In the New Testament, we read that when Jesus Christ came, the people who sat in darkness, the Bible says, have seen a great light. And those who have been sitting in the realm of death, to them light has come. Jesus Christ is the one who brings light to darkness. And when the Bible plays off of this motif of light and darkness, when it does that, what you discover is that darkness actually is a realm in which people live. There is such a thing as moral darkness. Some of you perhaps listening to this message, that's where you are at. There's a sense in which you're living in moral darkness. You're in relationships that you know are sinful, and you're trying to assuage your troubled conscience, and you're doing the best you can in moral darkness. There is emotional darkness. There is depression. There is hopelessness. There's even spiritual darkness where you recognize that something is wrong, but you don't know what it is, and you go looking for the answer in all the wrong places. Jesus is indeed the one who brings light. Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn to John chapter 12? John chapter 12. Actually, you can turn to John chapter 12 if you wish, but I'm going to be in John chapter 8, as it turns out, in verse 12. All right, John chapter 8, verse 12. And again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. Even in the Old Testament, God was spoken of as being a God of light. The Lord is my light and my salvation. I think it was the prophet Micah who said that, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. Though I fall, I shall rise again, and the Lord shall be light about me." But even though light is mentioned in the Old Testament in connection with God, when Jesus Christ comes, when he comes, suddenly there is this burst of light. Rather than the flashlights of the Old Testament, what you have is the glory of God personally revealed. It is as if Jesus brought a floodlight to the entire world. What I'd like to do in the next few moments, and my remarks will be brief, what I'd like to do is to give you five characteristics of light, or five necessities, five reasons why light is so necessary. And let's think about each one of them in turn. First of all, light is necessary for life. Light is necessary for life. You know, of course, that this is so true in the physical world. If you were to take the plants that are growing in your window, if you have some like that, and you take them into the basement, take them into a cave, cut them off from light, what you'll discover is that they will die. Photosynthesis, which is so important. That's why it is that the grain that was in the pyramids that was there for thousands of years, that's why it didn't grow. It needed moisture, but it also needed sunlight. And in the very same way, what the sun is to physical life, Jesus Christ is to spiritual life. The Bible says that he came to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. And just indeed, like a seed may grow in the ground and then the sunlight nourishes it, in the very same way, by his own word, he begat us, the Bible says, by the word of truth. So God begat us and granted us life. And this life that Jesus gives is not life after we die, though it is that most assuredly. It is life right now, because eternal life is granted to all those who believe on Jesus, even at this moment. Eternal life is given to us, and that is a relationship with God, a connection with God. And finally, we find the answer to our quest. Life is necessary. Light is necessary for life. Light is also necessary for guidance. Jesus said that if you follow me, you will not walk in darkness. Light is necessary for guidance. As many of you know, I was brought up on a farm in Canada, and there was a time when we did not have electricity. Later on, I'll tell you what life was like once we had electricity. But we used to use lanterns, coil oil lamps in the house, and lanterns on our way to the barn and the other buildings. And I remember as a boy being with my father as he carried that lantern. That light gave us enough light for the next steps. We couldn't see too far ahead, but bless God, we knew where we were walking, and we knew that we were on the right path. The Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." There's a verse in Proverbs I have often contemplated. It says in chapter 4 that the wicked walk and they don't know what it is that they are stumbling over. What a vivid picture. What a true picture of those who go about in life from one mistake to another, one sin to another, one addiction to another, one religion to another, and they can't seem to find what it is that they are looking for, because they're looking for it and they're walking in darkness. And when you walk in darkness, you can't tell the difference between a brick that might be made out of concrete or gold. You can't tell the difference. And so you stumble along and you can't find out where you are going. And so the scripture is very clear here that light is needed for guidance. We need to know about our relationship with God. We need to know where we are at in terms of that relationship, and we need to know what life is all about. And for that, you need light. It's in the very same proverb in chapter 4 where the Bible says this, that the light of the just are like the dawn that gets brighter and brighter until the fullness of day. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, he guides you, he directs you all the way to your heavenly home. And the light gets brighter and brighter as you go along the path. So light is also needed for guidance. Light is also needed to understand ourselves, to understand who we are. It was Goethe, and by the way, that German Enlightenment philosopher, don't pronounce his name Goethe, okay? He wouldn't recognize that. Learn a little bit of German, which will put you in some good stead when you get to heaven. And it's actually pronounced Goethe. But he said this, "Only God knows who I really am, and may he preserve me from finding out." And that's really true. You see, the fact is that you and I love darkness. We are born into darkness, and we love it. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 3. He said this, "And this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been carried out by God." Wow. You and I are darkness junkies. We're born that way. We prefer the darkness. That's really a heavy thought, isn't it? We all prefer the darkness, as Jesus said. Let me ask you a question. How do we live in a nation where our light is perceived as darkness? You know, I've written a new book entitled The Church in Babylon, Heeding the Call to be a Light in the Darkness. I'm absolutely convinced that God is calling us to faithfulness in the midst of a nation that is drifting to darkness and even greater darkness. How do we live at a time when it appears as if our God has lost? You know, Israel had to face that when they were taken to Babylon. The Babylonian armies came down and they won the city of Jerusalem, conquered it, smashed it, if I can put it that way, all in the name of Marduk, their god. Then they took the vessels to Babylon as proof that their God won. My friend, today I believe very deeply in this book because what I try to do is to show how to live faithfully at a time and in a culture in which it appears as if our God is lost. I mean, we've lost the culture war, issues of same-sex marriage, issues that pertain to abortion and a host of others. What we must recognize is that God is calling us to a new level of faithfulness. And so I discuss various issues of church-state matters, the relationship between church and state, what to do when the state claims to be God and begins to invade our freedoms. It also has a chapter on issues such as the internet and technology, the negative effects of technology. Those issues and a host of others are covered in the book, which is entitled The Church in Babylon, Heeding the Call to be Light in the Darkness. How do we live at a time when our light is considered darkness?
Mark Bailey from Dallas Seminary says, "In The Church in Babylon, Erwin Lutzer provides a clarion call for the church to make a mid-course correction in the contrary culture of the 21st century. Resetting the sails for the church to survive and thrive." The Church in Babylon book can be yours as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Pastor Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.